Hey, it's Casey here with Wake Up with Casey, and today I'm going to talk about, with everything that's going on in this world, how can we ground, how can we have balance, and how does music help with our health and wellness journey? And today I have a very special guest who is a certified vibroacoustic therapy practitioner, as well as a relaxation expert and technologist. So please welcome Craig Goldberg. Craig!
What's happening? What's up, Casey? Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know what? It's a pleasure, because when I can talk about music and in a way that we are connected to it, through frequencies and vibrations, and your agent reached out to me and said how you would be a great fit. And when I sort of did my research and everything, I was like, wow, you know, like, good for you. Like, thank you for following your heart and your passion. And there was something interesting that I read about you. It had to do with your wife and the co-founder that sort of like sparked this passion in your health and wellness journey. Can you share with the audience about that? You know, what was going on with your wife and the co-founder?
Yeah, totally. Well, nothing was going on with my wife and the co-founder. Let's just put that out there.
But well, you know, like health-wise, that's why different, you guys that's joined a different story.
Yeah, absolutely. I joke. I love having fun, and I know you do too, because I've been listening. So, look, first of all, I'm grateful to be here and grateful to be able to tell my story. And I hope that your listeners are going to be able to gain something on their journey that correlates to mine, and that we can. It's one of the things that I absolutely love about this medium, the podcast and the extended conversation. And it's all about hearing other people's stories. And what we find when we peel things back is that we're all pretty much having a very similar experience. It's a shared experience, and it's chaotic and it's hectic, and it ebbs and flows in a very beautiful way. We were starting to talk just in the green room beforehand. Like, there's a lot happening right now energetically. There's a lot happening in the stars and the astronomy and eclipse season and all the different things that are happening. And it's all playing a factor on this vessel and your vessel, for that matter, your body. And we'll talk about this a little bit more as we get into it. And then I will answer your question. And that is, these bodies are antennas. We are constantly coming into and out of harmonic resonance with frequencies that we are presented with. And there are all sorts of different frequencies that we are presented with, which is why sometimes we feel great, and sometimes we feel out of balance, and sometimes we feel off, and sometimes, right, we're constantly moving in and out of, I feel great, and I don't feel so great, and ebbing back and flow, back and forth. Music, sound and frequency, vibration, helps us to bring the body back into balance, helps us to feel grounded, helps us to feel like we're in our prime, optimized and ready to perform. And that, to me, is what it's all about. Your question was my wife and what was going on with my wife and my co-founder. So nothing was going on. I happen to know Dom. Dom's my business partner. I've known him for over a decade at this point. He's one of my nearest and dearest friends, and has been for 10 years. We started this business. I started this business. Let me choose my words wisely. Dom started this business back in 2015. I joined the business back in 2016, November of 2016. It's now 2024 that we're recording this. So we're coming up on 8 years this November. Just to put some more dates and times around it, back in 2012, 12 years ago, my wife got sick. And doc after doc, nobody could figure out what was wrong with her. You can search online and you can find my story in more depth. But the long and the short of it was gluten that was causing my wife an issue. We removed gluten from her diet, and she immediately got better. Like, within 72 hours, all of her symptoms went away. I gave up gluten also, because we eat from the same kitchen. So over the next 6 to 9 months, I actually got worse. So not having gluten in my system, what any nutritionist will tell you is probably a good thing, I continued to show signs of of a deteriorating body, a low-grade fever, a cough that wouldn't go away, mucus buildup, just showing signs of not being well. And I couldn't figure out what was going on with me. In the end, we figured out that I was detoxing, that my body was no longer distracted by the inflammatory response the gluten was causing, and it was actually expunging and removing toxic load from my body in such a manner that showed up as you know, symptoms of the common cold, when in reality, my body was detoxing. And then after about 9 months, my system cleaned and cleared, and I started feeling fantastic. That's about when me and my wife discovered essential oils, started traveling the country, teaching, training, and educating on the efficacy of essential oils. We got rid of all toxic load in everything we put in our mouth, we put on our skin, and we allow to be kept in the air around us. And we just started this major cleanse around these areas. And again, we can dive as deep into any of those as you wish, but ultimately it led my wife and I to travel the country, teaching, training, and educating on the efficacy of essential oils, doing so at yoga retreats, at trade shows and conferences. And inevitably, all of these places had sound therapists there. They had sound baths and these incredible acoustic instruments, bells, chimes, gong, the didgeridoo, these great vibratory instruments, drums. And I didn't know what it was about it. I just loved it. I laid down and incredible angels. They would play their music. I would fall asleep. I would wake up and I felt incredible. I felt like somebody had just like wrung out my entire body and just taken all the stress and anxiety away and set me on a path for like, I'm good to go. Like, whatever you got, let's go. Giddy up. And I eventually became enamored with this feeling. Obviously, that's the kind of feeling you want. And I became enamored with what was actually happening when I was laying in front of these incredible acoustic instruments. And it was learning about the body, learning about resonance, learning about harmonic resonance, and what's happening when your body is laying in front of a gong, a didgeridoo, or a vibratory instrument. Your body's coming into harmonic resonance with that. And it creates an alpha or theta, sometimes even a delta or gamma brainwave in the brain. And the body becomes in harmony with the mind, body, and the environment. And when those three are in harmony with one another, we feel and perform our best. Our body is in a nervous system response known as parasympathetic, or calm and relaxed, or rest and digest. And the body performs the way it was so brilliantly designed to perform. When we're stressed and anxious, when we're in fight or flight, otherwise known as a sympathetic nervous system response, our body is in survival mode. And your body cannot be in rest and digest and fight or flight at the same time. It's one or the other. And if you're in fight or flight and survival mode, your body is turning off a series of different bodily functions that help you perform at your best, and instead goes into fight or flight because it's in survival mode, and it needs to keep you alive. And that's a very dangerous place to be for prolonged periods of time. Hours are okay. Half a day, 2 days, 3 days, not okay. And many people are sitting in fight or flight for weeks and months and years on end. Literally, the moment they wake up until the moment they go to bed, their body is in survival mode, which basically means that you're going to have these diagnoses. You're going to have these chronic ailments and issues. Your body is not maintaining itself. And hopefully we can dive into that in a little bit more detail. Along that same time frame, my business partner, Dom, was going through a rough patch himself personally. He's drinking a lot and wasn't really enjoying his existence. He went up to LA from San Diego and got a master's degree in spiritual psychology and began to learn a lot about the mind, the body, the spirit, how it's all interconnected, and had his first Sound Lounge experience. And we began to learn about this incredible technology and ultimately started a company called Holistic Health Science that later turned into In Harmony Interactive. And here we are today. Tom's one of the greatest business partners I've ever had. Like I said, he's a dear friend of mine. I love his family. He loves mine. And we're doing this pretty incredible thing called helping the world feel their best and optimize human performance through sound and vibration.
That is awesome. And it sounds like it was a unique spiritual awakening for each of you. but you guys came together in such a divine time.
Yeah.
And moment to help along your soul purpose of why you came here. And in that process, with acoustic and sound and vibration, excuse me, from my understanding, because being a retired massage therapist and learning about Reiki and chakras and love and the love for music, I discovered that each of our chakras holds a note, and it True. Resonates when it hears, when we hear certain notes, it automatically resonates with each of our chakras, and it shifted. Like, the earth is shifting and changing energetically. So are our bodies, our chakras. It's like getting an upgrade. So every note just got to upgrade to another octave.
Yeah. So I'm pulling these up just so that I can take a look at them. So on our YouTube channel, name of our company, In Harmony Interactive, it looks like that. And on our YouTube channel, you'll actually find the music that we create, we call them music meditations. In our app, which you can find on our website, it's going to look a little different for me because I'm in the process of testing something, hence the red stripe across the top. But okay. Each one of these is a music meditation that's optimized for our technology, which we'll talk about later. On our YouTube channel, we have what we call extended music meditations. And those extended music meditations, we have several. They're designed to be played through your home stereo system, through a Bluetooth speaker, through headphones over the course of the day. One of my favorite use cases for our extended music meditations is actually when I'm traveling, when I'm going to the airport, when I'm in public spaces. I just put in my AirPods and I'm playing our frequencies. And with transparency mode, I can still hear what's going on, but I have these frequencies playing, and it's unbelievably calming and soothing. At the beginning of this, while we were in the green room, I was kind of looking down at this screen. I was looking at my iPad, which controls my Sonos sound system. And I was lowering the speaker here in my office so that it doesn't interfere with the recording. And what you'll find is that we actually have a chakra balancing series. We have root, which is 256 hertz. We have solar plexus at 320 hertz. We have we have sacral, which is 288 hertz. They're not in order, obviously. We have heart, which is 341.3 hertz. We have throat, which is 384 hertz. We have third eye, which is 426.7 hertz. And this is all through. And then, of course, we have a crown as well, which is 480 hertz. There's a lot of different research out there that shows different frequencies for different chakras. It's not an exact science because it's energy work. You're a Reiki master. I'm a Reiki master. We're simply trained to tune into our intuitive, our pineal gland. We're trained to tune into other people's energy and then bring balance to those energy flows. It aligns really well with the meridians of the body, which is Chinese medicine. In fact, I'm teaching a course next Friday on Chinese medicine and how it correlates and interacts to sound and vibration. All of this intertwines with one another. All of it overlaps with one another. And all of it can be used to bring balance to the body. I actually believe there are no bad frequencies. There are only disharmonant frequencies with that person at that time. So even the music meditations that we create, yes, there is obviously a bunch of science and research that goes into it. And yes, we're trying to base it on the best information that we have at the time. But even so, there's lots of different frequencies that feel absolutely phenomenal, especially when it comes to different energy centers in the body, meridians, or of course, the physical organs and the physical attributes of our body too. Every part of our body has a harmonic resonance. All of it has a frequency that it holds, that is its resonant frequency, its rested frequency. And we're really just scratching the surface on understanding all of this. I'm grateful that I think we're at the tip of the spear when it comes to, like, you know, who's really pushing forward this. But the reality is there are a ton of incredible organizations and individuals at those organizations that are doing some phenomenal things when it comes to sound and frequency. the body of research that I'm certified in, vibroacoustic therapy, is a body of research that goes back 45 years to the late 1970s. It was pioneered by a gentleman by the name of Olav Skill. I'm trained in his lineage. And it is the therapeutic application of sound and frequency on many different aspects of the human body, the physical body, our anatomy, our neurology. I mean, there's so many different aspects to this that really excite me, because this is really where, and we're doing our own pilot studies right now. We're going to have our own peer-reviewed science and research that's going to come out. It's going to take years, obviously, but we're working on it already. And this for me is the really exciting part of where the rubber meets the road on sound and frequency and its impact on our physiology, our neurology, our anatomy, as I said.
That is amazing. And I wish you the best of success on that journey.
Thank you.
You know, I grew up 80s girl, you know, where to me 80s music was like, that was the pivot of, you know, the Hairspray days, the roller skating music, yeah. You know, the rock and roll back then. But it was, oh my gosh, the Bon Jovi, even Van Halen, Def Leppard, Whitesnake. I mean, I could go on and on.
Oh yeah.
Led Zeppelin. Oh my gosh.
Get it.
The solos with the instruments that they played. It's like, they by far did the most fabulous music just with their solos, the intro, the solo, and of even course. Sometimes at the end. And then there is like other music that, I mean, it's what you put, what your intentions are with what you're creating in those frequencies. And because there's some, like, it affects you. It can affect you positive and it can affect you negative too.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head, Casey. Look, music moves us. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. Your music moves you. My music moves me. And there is no right or wrong answer to that. Some people love Megadeth. Some people love Metallica. Some people love headbanging. Some people love polka. Other people love country. Country music tends to get a lot of hate out there. I happen to really enjoy country, right? I think it's sad. Most of the lyrics are sad. Most of the songs are about loss and death and moving on and that sort of thing. And that has a resonance to it, right? So your music moves you. My music moves me. Look, I love house music. I love melodic deep house. Techno for me, way too fast. But I got a couple friends that are, even as I look around, they're not far from me right now, that absolutely love techno. It's too fast for me. I can't think straight. It just doesn't resonate with me. But right. But your music moves you. And the oldest vibratory tool on the planet is this beautiful thing right here, is the larynx and the throat box, and the voice box, yep. Rather. And if you put your hands on your voice, no matter the pitch, you can feel it vibrating. And it does a really nice job of vibrating the upper torso, hence, and you can feel that. Humming is absolutely phenomenal. Toning is absolutely phenomenal. Helps to calm and relax the nervous system, and yet we don't do it often enough. None of us do. So music absolutely moves us. And the music that you love is the music that you love. And it absolutely moves us. It's really a wonderful thing.
It is. And I have a son that I just reconnected with after giving him up for adoption like 35 years ago. And he's into that screaming. Singing. And he just like, what do you think, Mom? And I'm like, I didn't understand a word you said. All I heard was screaming. Yeah. Because it's a skill, Mom, but it's an art. And I'm like, I get that. That's it why is. I love you. You do you. Especially if it's, no matter how you do it, but if it's bringing hope and positivity and people get that, you know, I wish you the best of success, but Mama just has to put the earplugs in for that. That's just too much for me.
Yeah, but look, you nailed it, right? So your music moves you, your son's music moves him, and that's just kind of the way that works. But the reality is, it doesn't make what they're saying a bad bad thing or a bad frequency. It's just what moves him, what resonates with him at that particular moment. And that's a good thing for sure.
Yeah, I'd like for others to, I mean, even the lyrics, like, it's like, we don't understand the English language is so diluted, you know, and one word can mean so many different things.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I'm now learning how to be very mindful in my words and what I'm speaking, because we're spelling, we're casting spells.
Nailed it. I mean, look, there is nothing more.
And add music to it with that frequency, it can be very powerful.
Oh, absolutely. Look, as you start to, I don't know where this conversation is going to go, but there are so many different ways that it can go. Okay, so.
I'm open.
I get that, which is why I love this. Okay, so yes, your words are powerful, and yes, you are casting spells. Look, the two most powerful words in the English language are I am, because whatever comes after it, you are. I am powerful. I am strong. I am loved. I am incredible. I am capable. Just as easy, I am incapable. I am not loved. I am hated. I am bothered. I am tired. Oh, my wife, that gets my wife. When I say I'm tired, she's like, no, you're not. You have endless amounts of energy. And I'm like, yeah, I get that, honey. Right now, I'm just tired. I want to go to bed. Right? And she's like, make your move. Come on, let's go. And if I needed to rally, of course I can rally. But the reality is sometimes I am tired. Okay. Sorry to say that, honey, over and over. She's within an earshot. I am powerful. I am strong. I am loving. I have endless energy reserves. I can do anything. You get the point. Okay. Mm-hmm. You are casting spells, which is why I am statements are so powerful. It's why they call it spelling. Spelling a word. You are casting a spell. When you say something, you have to think about saying it first. Then your lips have to say it. And then, by the way, both of your ears hear you saying it. So it's the ultimate in reinforcing, which is why saying things out loud is so powerful. We do need to be careful with the words that we say. We do need to be careful with the way in which we say things. And maybe instead of I am tired, maybe I say I need rest. I'd like to go to bed. I need to recharge. Right? I mean, there's lots of positive spins that you can put if you would even see the words I am tired as a thing. But there's a lot that goes into that. Okay. Now, when you start to combine that with vibration, music, singing, all of a sudden you're tapping into now two senses. And as you, if you link that with a smell, third, and a taste, four, and all of a sudden you engage all five senses in a memory and you are solidifying that memory, which, by the way, are any religious group. And this is not meant to make this a religious conversation versus a spiritual conversation, but I was just having this conversation with somebody not too long ago. When you're sitting in church, doesn't matter what church it is, you've got stained glass, which is changing the color of the light that's coming through there. Don't you think for one second that this is not intentional by whoever and whatever religion that you're following?
Yeah.
You're sitting in a acoustic room that has resonance. You're listening to a choir. You're listening to a pipe organ. It is absolutely stimulating the mechanoreceptors in your body for touch. You're obviously hearing this incredible gospel and these incredible sounds coming from a choir and a pipe organ, which sounds absolutely incredible. The stained glass that's coming through there, they're burning frankincense and myrrh. You're smelling and tasting it. They're stimulating all five senses as they're sharing this gospel with you, which is great and wonderful. And I'm not here to say it's good, bad. It's all amazing. But just understand that there's a lot that's happening when you're in that space. Yep. Every Sunday or every Friday night or whatever that may be. And I was raised Jewish. I get it. I've read the Old Testament. I've read the New Testament. I've had this conversation over and over again. There's a lot that goes into that. And we need to be very cognizant of the words that we use, how often we use them, and what we surround ourselves by so that we can optimize our own performance. And that's obviously where InHarmony comes in. And what we want to do to share that balance.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm out of religion knowing what I know now. I just can't be a part of that organization. Sorry.
Yep.
Can't, like, once you wake up.
Yeah.
And I talk about, I'm now in the process of talking about our ancient history, going back to the Anunnaki.
Yep.
And it's a little like on my journey when I started seeing and realizing things, I was upset and like pissed off. Like, what? Like,
here's the difficult reality. We don't actually know what our history was. I wasn't there. You weren't there. Nobody was there. When you start to study memory and the human body, we only get about 50% of our memories correct. The other 50% is wrong. Just never happened. So that to me, it's just a challenge for any history books, whether they were written by, you know, somebody inside the institutional learning educational event that created the Rockefellers created or outside of it, right? Like, regardless, I get that there are channels and I get that there are people that can channel energies that were there. And I think that there's some relevancy there as well. I think we as humans spend a lot of time trying to figure out our past so that we think we can better understand our future. And the reality is all of it is a farce. And the only thing that we have is right now, right in front of our face. And even our own memories are a memory that we're only getting 50% right based on the lens that we want to see, good or bad, traumatic or not. So I think that's a real challenge. I have a real challenge with that. And this is just another point. We interact with this environment, this dimension, if you want to call it, this reality, if you want to call it, through our five senses. Touch, the mechanoreceptors, which is something that we really at InHarmony accelerate around. Sound, light, taste, and smell. And we know that the hardware that we have, my nose, my olfactory senses, my hearing, my taste, we know that we cannot taste and smell or see everything. We know we can't feel everything. The mechanoreceptors in our skin, which is how we feel changes in pressure, activate between 5 hertz and 300 hertz. We know that there's 350, 400, 500, 800, 10,000. We know that there are higher frequencies, but we can't feel them. So how do we know they're there? Because we have instruments that can measure them, but we are still limited in feeling it because of the hardware in our bodies. Same with sound. The human ear hears 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. We know that dogs can hear higher than that. We know that sounds and frequencies go higher than that, but we can't hear them, which means we are limited in the perception of this reality to the capability of the hardware of our five senses. And that, to me, leaves way too much to be misinterpreted and misunderstood, and way too much that we don't know about. For example, that sound, we know that we only see 1% of the spectrum. That leaves 99% of things that we can't see. How do we know what's happening? How do we know we're seeing what's actually happening here? The reality is we don't. And that, to me, just leaves this whole universe, this whole known universe, to be a farce, to be something that is perceptual and completely perceptual to you, to me, and to that first person view that we have of what's actually happening around us. I don't know. Well, it's pretty tough.
That's I like how you put that. And you know, with me, it's, you know, I asked a silly question on my spiritual awakening, because I learned this from Dr. Joe Vitale. Ask a question, question everything.
Yeah.
And I was like really serious. I just like started thinking, because you know, being brought up in the Southern Baptist religion, there are some things that just did not feel right, sound right, or did not resonate with, or contradicting itself. So
sure.
I asked a question, where did language originate? How did the first ones that were here communicate? You know, and then I saw like the Sumerian, you know, with the cuneiform on these tablets. I've seen, you know, pictures of Egypt with the pyramids. They had all these drawings. And then there's some stuff, drawings here in America. There's drawings from the Dogons and, you know, all their places. The way they communicated was first through pictures. And there's so many other writings in Asia and all over the world, ancient history. That's what led me on this journey.
Yeah.
And then you spoke of channeling earlier. I started channeling in these languages I've never heard of. Yeah. And I'm trying to connect who I'm channeling in their language to where, like, okay, what? Where are you from? Like,
totally.
This, it's mind-boggling.
When are you from?
The frequency that comes through my body can be sometimes so intense.
Yeah. Have you channeled light language yet?
They say that I shared with a few people. They're like, oh, it sounds like light language. And I'm like, it doesn't feel like it. It's like our ancient ancestors in their language is trying to send a message to help mankind, to help humanity.
Sure.
And look, it's mind-boggling.
So look, there, time is an illusion. And I don't say that in some esoteric way. I say it in a very real way, that time is a human construct, mm-hmm. that we have created this now versus later, this then versus, you know, now, that it is very much a perception of this reality that we have here, of this linear time. I was born on May 26, 1979, and today is April 15th, 2024. That whole linear time thing, the Gregorian calendar, all of that is, well, look, originally, I'm sure you've gotten into this. There were 13 months, now there are 12 months, and
13 we go months, by, yep.
We go by the sun, but in reality, we should really be going by the moon, which is 13 moon phases over the course of the year, blah, blah, blah. Okay. It's all made up. It's all just a human construct for us to decide how somebody on the East Coast and somebody on the West Coast can link up at the same time to be in the same place so that we can share this moment together. By the way, Casey's on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast, and we are here at the same time, right? I'm in Pacific Standard Time. I was just in Hawaii. That's Hawaii Standard Time. I was 6 hours behind you. Now I'm 3 hours behind you. It's all just so that we can have a schedule and some semblance of now. And some semblance of when things happen so that we can develop a history and a future, but it's all a human construct. In the spiritual world, everything happens only now. There is no then, there is no future. Everything is happening at the same time, which is really hard for us humans to comprehend in our brain that my entire 45-year existence is happening all at once and that there's only now. Yes, there's only now. And that's, it's a series of nows, but it's only now. And that becomes a challenge for us to comprehend because of our three-dimensional existence. There's a great video of a kid explaining the dimensions. He's like a 9-year-old kid. He's famous. I mean, this thing, it's on YouTube and it's absolutely fantastic. And he starts talking about a tesseract and he starts talking about a square versus a cube versus a tesseract, which is a cube inside a cube. Really, absolutely remarkable. And he talks about how being a three-dimensional being, we cannot comprehend the fourth dimension because we're a three-dimensional being. You are limited by your perception of this reality through your perception of this reality, and therefore cannot understand what that fourth dimension would look like. And then fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth and all these different dimensions that we can start to think about. It's just a really wild existence. I hope this is waking some people up. Maybe it isn't. I don't know.
I love these kind of conversations. And like speaking of the third dimension, I know everything with, you know, the planets and whatnot, it like things are shifting and changing and upgrading and things being removed to create space and expanding. That's what I feel from going from 3D to 5D. It's a slow process, but we're expanding. We're like upgrading, ascending.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of feelings associated with that too. Look, many of us are grounded and rooted in this third dimensional existence, big time. And many of us are feeling those ascension symptoms. And that's a very real thing.
Yes,
confusion,
it is.
Dismay, uncomfortability, especially as all these things are happening in the astrology and all these things that are happening that have really haven't happened in 250 years. Pluto, for example, is coming back around. All these different things that just don't happen that often. We are sealing, not to mention the fact that we chose to incarnate and be alive during a 26,000 year transition into Aquarius. Like, there's just so much that's happening in the astrology. And again, this is not my world. I just have a lot of friends around me that I talk to and I listen to on a regular basis.
Yes, and you and me both, Craig. You
and I find it, like, I find it so, I find it so interesting. My logical mind just wants to dig in and verify, test, and then my, you know, my spiritual mind is just like, just go with the flow, Craig. That's just, you're good. I'm a triple Gemini. I'm Gemini Moon, Gemini Sun, Gemini Rising.
Wow.
I'm a 5-1 heretic in my human design. I have 7 of 9 of my energy centers defined. My brain being one of them, so my head being one of them, like. It's just a very logical existence for me in this world. And yet I'm this air sign, triple air sign, and designed to be very free flowing in that. So I straddle both sides of logic and flow. And I kind of balance those out in a very unique way. And I get very interested in the details. And I have lots of interesting conversations with lots of amazing human beings just like this.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm a Virgo, so hey. With several master numbers, you know, 9/11 and yeah. And wow. It's you just look at life in a whole new perspective.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going through the change of life now. So that is a whole new experience in itself. And I'm wanting to change my diet. And I found out, I've been O positive. And when this pandemic started, I was questioning, I'm like, well, how does this affect the blood types? You know, and what about everything else?
Yeah.
Like, the key is in our blood type. What foods resonate with our blood type?
They do.
So share with the audience about your journey on the health and wellness and what you discovered, because you discovered something about the GMOs and something about a genetic roulette. Can you please share with that?
Sure. Great movie I recommend to everybody is a movie called Genetic Roulette. And Jeff Smith is quite genius in it. It was what ultimately changed us for the better. Not really much to do with InHarmony Interactive, but more to do with just kind of my own awakening and my better understanding. You know, they talk a lot in the news about genetically modified organisms, GMOs. And I think most people have absolutely no idea how they actually genetically modify our food. Like, to a point where if you did find out, you'd be horrified. It is quite literally one of the worst things that you can put in your body. I don't care what anybody says. You do the research on how they genetically modify our food, and everything inside you will tell you that this is wrong and that it is not going to help humanity. And yet they continue to roll it out more and more. The two main ways that they genetically modify our foods, because I think it's worth mentioning. The first is by making the food Roundup ready. Roundup is, people need to understand even how Roundup works. I was spraying it when I was a kid. We would spray it on everything.
You didn't think nothing of it.
Nope, you didn't think anything of it. So how does Roundup work? Roundup is what you call a nutrient hugger. Okay, so you spray Roundup on a plant, and when that plant gets access to water and nutrients, Roundup wraps itself around the nutrient and makes it so that the plant cannot absorb it. And therefore, that weed that you sprayed it on gets weak and it dies because it cannot absorb nutrients. These same people will tell you that Roundup is totally fine for human beings, but it does the same thing in human beings. If you get Roundup in your body, it will wrap itself around the nutrients in your diet and make it so that you cannot absorb the nutrients. It's horrifying. Okay. These Roundup Ready plants are simply plants that inside the seed, inside the DNA, do not become susceptible to Roundup, which means that they can spray it liberally instead of out of a spray can specifically at the weed. Now they can put it in an airplane and hit the whole entire field. And by the way, it starts to blow in the wind and it starts to go into all sorts of different foods. But remember, this residue is now all over that plant, the green part, the edible plant, all of it. And it's in our food and we are eating it. And it is absolutely having a negative impact on our body.
It's so having it, our body's having an allergic reaction to it because it's not sustainable.
It's all sorts of look, and Monsanto Corp sold to Bayer and they lost lawsuits and they had settlements. I mean, the history between our FDA and these chemical companies are horrendous. I don't even know if we should be talking about all this stuff on YouTube, regardless. But the first is by making the plant Roundup Ready. The second is by genetically cutting into the plant matter itself something called BT bacteria. And these BT bacteria, again, are genetically implanted into the entire plant. The BT bacteria releases something once it's planted and grown called BT toxin. And BT toxin, when an insect or a pest eats and consumes that plant, it makes its stomach explode. But it's totally okay for humans. Remember, it's genetically in the entire plant, the edible part, the grass, the leaf, all of it. So all of a sudden we have these gut linings that are very sensitive, sometimes only one cell thick, and they get disrupted by this BT toxin. And you can find BT toxin in the human body. They've run tests to figure all this stuff out. None of what I'm saying is untrue. This is all a reality. You can search all of it. You can find the patents on BT toxin, BT bacteria. You can find how they do all this. Now they probably even have even more ways that they genetically modify our food that are equally as horrifying. But 70 to 80, maybe 90% of our food supply is genetically modified. Unless it's organic, unless you grew it yourself, it is probably genetically modified or tainted with some type of genetically modified seed. And it's just really horrifying. So all of a sudden you start reading this stuff and you're like, that can't be the best way. This has to be poisoning us as humans. And there's got to be a better way. And that's obviously growing your own food, knowing where your food comes from, eating organic, following the non-GMO project, which is another farce and sham in a lot of ways, as is the USDA organic sticker. And again, we're getting into more of a political conversation, but nonetheless.
I know. I was saying the same thing.
And we need to wake people up, and I think it's important. I would just say this. As far as politics, we're all getting taken advantage of as Americans. Yes. The people in Washington are absolutely not working in our best interests, even though we think they are, and they say they are, but they're not. They're working in their best interests. And we need to do two things that I think every American will agree with. We need term limits. And we need to get rid of the corporate interests in Washington and all of our state capitals and all of our local capitals, by the way. We need to get these lobbyists out and we need to get American people in to be better represented, because our best interests are not being taken at hand and not being cared for at all. And it's particularly horrifying in our food supply and the types of foods that we're eating every day, because it's making us sick and tired. And the standard American diet is no good. Once I started learning about all this stuff, I started telling people about it. It's not the first time I've had this conversation on YouTube or anywhere else for that matter. It's horrifying when you start to look into it. And this is part of waking up. Part of waking up is realizing that, unfortunately, the life that we've been led to live over the last 20 years in particular is not the same life that we lived the first 20 years of my life. And unfortunately, it's pretty horrifying when you look at the amount of toxic load that we are put on the human body every single day in so many different ways. Literally, everything you put in your mouth, everything you put on your skin, every lotion, every perfume, every cologne, it's horrific for your body. And any one of them by itself is fine. But when you start to layer this all together, the human body just cannot detoxify all of the toxic load it's presented with on a regular basis. And that's when we start to lead to
dis-ease, chronic ailments, chronic issues.
And cancers. And
that's why we need everything else that we're doing.
And even cancers.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
and it's like, you know, I'm a ginger, you know, and I loved going out in the sun, and I didn't realize how damaging sunscreen was.
Yeah.
And you hear everyone like skin cancer, this cancer and whatnot. And I'm like, it's the sunscreen that causes the cancer, not the sun.
100%. Moreover than that, most Americans are not being exposed to the correct sunlight to produce vitamin D. And this is an even bigger problem. Most dermatologists and doctors are telling you to stay out of the sun from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. when the sun's at its highest. And unfortunately, for most Americans, given where we live and where the sun is in the sky, the only time the sun is high enough to produce vitamin D, to generate vitamin D through the skin, is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. unfortunately, your shadow, so as a general rule, your shadow has to be less than 5 feet long. The sun has to be high enough in the sky so that your body does not cast a shadow that is less than 5 feet long for your body to generate vitamin D. For most of America, north of really Las Vegas and north, that's only 2-3 months out of the year, period. So that means the other 9 months out of the year here in Vegas, and forget about where I grew up in New York and states that are further north, the sun is very rarely high enough in the sky to generate vitamin D. They all need to be taking some type of vitamin D supplement, or better yet, some type of you see the red light that's on me right now?
Oh yeah.
I use an incandescent bulb and I can't really put this on the sun, but I constantly have a red light on me, and it is helping to charge my mitochondria. It's helping to charge my body and give my body the vitamin D that I need to generate it from the inside out. I do supplement vitamin D if I can't get outside, but even now it's April. And even now at 2 o'clock, when the sun's at its highest, my shadow is only just 5 feet deep. And if I go outside wearing this shirt, a hat, sunglasses, there's not enough skin exposed for my body to create vitamin D. I need my shirt off. I need no sunglasses on. Sunglasses are one of the worst things that you can wear, by the way, and not wearing a hat. Now, I only need 10 minutes of that sun exposure. 10 minutes of sun between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. when the sun is at its highest, with my shirt off and my entire body exposed, my body will begin to make vitamin D, and it makes it very efficiently. 25,000 IUs per day. And it will make them for 72 hours. So for 3 more days after that 10 minutes of sun exposure, my body continues to make 25,000 IUs per day of vitamin D. That's a lot. Okay.
Wow.
But most people, and it just eats me alive, most people put up that post on Instagram where they're wearing a hat, sunglasses, long sleeves. They're wearing, instead of sunscreen, they're wearing that 50, right? That skin that's being sold now on Instagram of like sun protection, like don't wear sunscreen, wear this, you know, sun blocking material, whatever that is. It's the equivalent of a 50, sunblock. They're wearing pants, shoes. They have no skin exposed to the sun whatsoever. And they put the post up that's like outside getting some vitamin D. I'm like, no, you're not. You need your body exposed. Even for women, wearing even a sports bra can limit the amount of vitamin D that your body produces. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to be running outside naked, but you need to find a place where you can get sun exposure, and your full naked body for 5-10 minutes would be ideal and the most incredible.
If you wear a bikini.
Bikini's great. Bikini's great. But the problem is most people aren't wearing a bikini. They're wearing a t-shirt and jeans and pants and shoes and socks. Yeah, a bikini's great because you got all the leg exposure and you're out in the sun. That's wonderful. But I'm wearing pants. But I'll go out and I'll take my shirt off and I will stand in the sun for 5 or 10 minutes between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And I try and do it every single day.
All right. That's a good idea.
5 minutes. You won't burn in 5 minutes. Nobody, even a ginger like you, won't burn in 5 minutes. Right?
Thank you.
Start with 2 minutes or 3 minutes,
right? Ease into it. But what you'll find is as your body temperature heats up, as your skin heats up, that's what your body needs to trigger the manufacturing of vitamin D. And just going out with clothing on doesn't do it. A hat and a brim and sunglasses, it does not do it. So anyway, there's a whole bunch, and there's a deeper conversation to have on melanin production and eyewear. Eyeglasses are one of the worst things that you can wear. Obviously, red light, blue blocking glasses, and that sort of thing.
I found these. So, I mean, they're blue.
Sure. You want yellow.
Yellow?
You want yellow. You want to block the blue. You want to refract the blue light. You want blue blocking glasses. And that has to do more to do with your circadian rhythm.
Oh, really? Because I love how the ocean looks when I have these on when I go to the beach. Oh. I'm like, wow, this is looking really blue.
So the problem is when you block the amount of light going into your eyes, you block your lights, your body's light meter. So when your eyes, I don't even have sunglasses nearby, but I was just in Maui and I fought really hard with myself as to whether or not I should bring them. And at the end of the day, I decided to bring them. But on days when I was out in the sun, I did not wear them, except when I was out on the ocean, because the reflecting light, the sunlight off the ocean can hurt your eyes and burn your eyes.
So that's why I wear those.
I wore them in a very particular, and when you're at the beach, of course, but when you're at the beach, you're typically with your shirt off and you're typically bathing in front of the sun. And the problem with that is if you're wearing sunglasses, the window from your brain to the rest of the world, your eyes are basically your brain exposed. Okay. Your nerves and your eyes go straight into the brain. It's the only place where light gets to the brain. So your light meter is your eyes. Yes, there's mechanoreceptors. There's receptors in your skin that also tell brightness, but for the most part, it's your eyes. And when you cover your eyes, you're basically telling your brain that it's not light out. It's not as light outside as it actually is. And because of that, your brain does not do the things it needs to do to protect itself, because it doesn't know that it's being exposed to bright light and direct sunlight. So when you're out there in nature, the best thing to do is if you got to wear a hat, wear a hat. A hat is better than glasses, because at the very least, your light meter, your eyeballs, will send signals to your brain telling you, hey, I'm in direct sunlight. Produce more melanin. Produce more of the protective mechanism in my skin. You're a ginger, you get it, right?
Duh.
So it's all through the light receptors in your eyes that tell your body how to perform in the light that it's being exposed to. So I would challenge you going out there wearing sunglasses, because you going out there wearing sunglasses is further, it's further impeding your body's natural defenses against direct sunlight.
Gotcha. Thanks for that tip.
Like, it's, but all, you said something all about
yellow. What's the difference with the yellow frames then?
So yellow frames, yellow lenses are supposed to block the blue light that comes from the sun. Oh. And you know, I see a lot of people wearing these sunglasses during the day, and that's not ideal. At night, during the day, you want to be exposed to the full spectrum of light, because the blue light has been scientifically shown to drive what's called our circadian rhythm, what drives the body's natural biorhythm. And really, because of lights and lighting, we're staying up much later. Our bodies are exposed to blue light after the sun goes down. And that is unfortunate, because that starts to mess with the body's circadian rhythm. These are no better. These devices... I do have a screen on mine that helps to block some of the blue light. I also use the feature that goes down here that turns the screen red. It's called Night Shift on an iPhone. And that takes the blue light out of that screen, makes it a little bit better. Or I will wear blue blocking glasses at night. And then in the morning, as soon as I wake up, the first thing I do is open my blinds, open my windows, and expose my eye to light, telling me that it's the morning and it's the beginning of the day, and beginning my biorhythm to that, which if you can rise with the sunrise, that's fantastic.
Well, I got this. These are my blue lights.
Yeah, that's great. Those are clear, right? Yeah. So I would use those at night, but get your hands on a blue laser and test them and make sure that they're actually blocking the blue light, because most of them don't.
Ah. Gotcha.
Most you actually of them. Wearing this,
especially being in front of these lights, in front of a camera and whatnot. I should be wearing them more, but I don't like the glare from the when I'm in front of a camera.
No, it's five, but it's 5:30 on the East Coast. It's still light outside.
Yeah, it is.
Then you don't want to be wearing blue blocking glasses because you want your body to see the circadian rhythm and to see that blue light. As the sun starts to go down, you want to shift and remove more and more of the blue light from your environment. And if you are going to have lights on at night, red lights are the best lights to have on at night, or wearing the blue blocking glasses to block. I've got lights that are on that are, you know, that are right here to block the blue spectrum from that light so that your eyeball is not exposed to the blue light, thus triggering your circadian rhythm and messing with your melatonin production and all of the GABA production, all the different precursors to you falling asleep at night starts when the sun goes down, starts when your body is no longer exposed to that blue light. And the body goes, no more blue light around. Must be time for me to start getting tired. And it starts to trigger all the chemical cascades associated with going to sleep. But if you've got white light and blue light on you, then the body goes, well, it's still daytime. I'm supposed to be awake.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyhow,
that is true.
We didn't really talk a whole lot about it. I noticed when
it starts getting dark, the melatonin, you know, starts getting low and you start yawning. And yeah, it.
You know, I'll tell you. So I have Hugh. The light that I keep on me all day is by a company called Sauna Space. I absolutely love Brian and the founder of that company. It's an incandescent bulb. It's why I like that. There's a lot of red light companies that use LED. I prefer an incandescent bulb. All the lights in my house are LED, and I don't think LED lights are good. I don't think they're healthy. I think incandescent is much better, but the reality is I use Hue lights and I can change it all on a whim. So as it starts getting darker out, my lights get dimmer. At some point, usually around 7 o'clock, because my daughter goes to bed around 8, we will click over to all red. And my friends come over and they're like, Craig, with the red light, I'm always so tired in your house. And I'm like, yeah, you're supposed to be. It's nighttime. We're supposed to be sleeping at night. That's part of optimization, is understanding how important sleep is and how important sleep is from like 8 or 9 p.m. at night until the sun comes up the next morning. That melatonin production is highest between 10 p.m. and 12 a.m. And if you're not sleeping between 10 p.m. and 12 a.m., you're not getting the right melatonin production for the following day.
No. And it's a program because of corporate, the biggest slavery is being an employee because they control your time.
That's a whole other conversation, Casey, a whole other conversation, but yes.
Yep. And it affects your health and well-being too.
It does.
So look,
a lot of people are very happy being an employee. Again, a totally different conversation. And I think that's great. And a lot of people, look, even my wife and I, we're both entrepreneurs. I own this company In Harmony. It's been growing very quickly over the last few weeks, months, years. It takes a lot of my time and my energy. I love doing it. I work 7 days a week. I just got back from Maui where I turned everything off for 7 days, 8 days. Literally, I put up an email out of office. I haven't done that. I've never done it in 7.5 years of working with In Harmony and Holistic Health Science. I've never put up an away message. And my wife and I, as we're sitting on the beach with our daughter, we were kind of looking at each other and we were like, do you ever remember a time where you weren't worried about work? And I go, no, I don't. Every day I can do whatever I want. I own a business. I'm an entrepreneur. Every day I choose to work. I work probably 4 to 8 hours, depending on the day, sometimes 10, 12 hours. They say the life of an entrepreneur is the only time where you decide you don't want to work 40 hours for somebody else so you can work 80 hours for yourself. And the reality is just that. There are days where I'm working 12, 15, 18 hours. There are days where I'm working more than that and I'm just awake 24 hours working. And I do it out of a labor of love because I enjoy it so much. But the reality is, some people like that they work for somebody else 8-9 hours a day and they get to go home and not think about work because it's not their business, not their company. They clock back in the next morning and that's great. And that works for a lot of people. I think that's awesome. Us entrepreneurs are cut from a different cloth.
Yes, we are.
and we choose to do it a little differently, and that's great too.
I have my little businesses I want to do. Like, I have my show. I also have a workbook that I just published recently, How to Overcome Limited Beliefs, Programs, and Traumas. And speaking engagements, I want to get into getting on stage and talking about that stuff. So yeah, it's all a work in progress. And yeah, I do a little bit here, a little bit there. And I have a side job that I do that gives me the flexibility. You know, I Uber. I control
Uber's my great. Own.
So, and I love it. I get to talk to people too.
Yeah, the gig economy is great. And it does help indeed to bring us together. Look, I use Uber all the time. And I'm constantly talking to the drivers, most of the time about health and wellness. Most of the time I'm asking them to put my frequencies on in the car, right? Or connect with one another on health and wellness. I mean, this is a conversation we're having that's recorded, but this is the same conversation you and I are having all the time, I'm sure of it, no doubt.
And so, Craig, where can, I know I have the link of your website and everything for people to connect and find out more about your equipment. Do you have any workshops or events coming up?
Let's see what's coming up. I was just on season 5 of David Meltzer. That just aired on David Meltzer TV on Apple TV and Roku, literally today as we're recording this on April 15th, tax day. Hey-o, give it up. I'm going to be at the AMTA event here in Las Vegas in early May. I'm going to be at SciCon in early May as well. And I'm going to New York for a couple weeks. The best place to find more info on me is through our socials. We're regularly posting to Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you follow the socials and whatever platform it is that you love. Chances are InHarmony is there at InHarmony Interactive. We've got our music meditations and extended music meditations on our YouTube channel. We're on Spotify and our company that we really didn't talk a whole lot about, and I'm super okay with that, is about sound and vibration and bringing the body into a calm and relaxed, more optimized state using sound and vibration. And you can learn more about us on our website, I Am In Harmony. We talked about the two most powerful words in the English language, I am, because whatever comes after it, you are. So why not be in harmony with the world around you? And that's our business. We help people to calm and relax through sound and vibration. We create music meditations. And we have our app on iOS and Google. And yeah, I'm super grateful. I'm the human body that's on the other side of our comments and our direct messages. So if you do have a question, my phone number is also at the top of my website. Literally, this phone will ring if you call the phone number at the top of my website. So iaminharmony.com. And if you've got questions, I've got answers. And I'm eternally grateful for your time, your energy. And thank you for sharing my message with your audience. I appreciate you, Casey.
It was truly an honor and a pleasure. And I thank you so much for what you're doing to help humanity harmonize mind, body, and soul.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Well, there you go. Stay tuned for another episode right here on Wake Up with Casey.